I have always been supportive of gay people.
Arnold Schwarzenegger gets to go down in the history books as the first sitting governor in the history of the United States of America to veto a civil rights bill.
This show was a real counterculture drag act. In 30 years has gone to the Bolshoi Theater in Moscow. That is a long distance to travel.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Uganda enshrines homophobia with a constitutional marriage ban. Governor Vito Nater lives down to his marriage vow. And Le Ballet Trocadero, keeping the dance world on its toes for over 30 years. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending October 1st, 2005. This week, Uganda became the first country in the world to constitutionally ban same-gender marriage. With little fanfare, President Yoweri Museveni signed the amendment defining marriage as lawful only if entered into between a man and a woman, and making it specifically unlawful for same-sex couples to marry. No penalties were set for those who violate the new law. That's expected to come next year with a revision of the penal code. Opposition to the constitutional amendment was limited because Museveni's government is one of the most repressive anti-gay regimes on the African continent. Lawmakers critical of the president, who assumed power in a coup d'etat, focused most of their attention on another part of his so-called reform package, the repeal of presidential term limits that would enable Museveni to continue in office. Since a political confrontation with the government 2 years ago forced hundreds of gay and lesbian activists to flee to South Africa to seek asylum, there are few left in Uganda to protest.
California would have been the first U.S. state to legalize same-gender marriage without a court order. But Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger vetoed the bill passed by the Democrat-controlled legislature. Unlike most conservatives who oppose marriage equality being imposed by the judiciary, Schwarzenegger took the position that the matter should be decided by the courts. In his letter to the legislature, the governor said, "This bill simply adds confusion to a constitutional issue. If the ban of same-sex marriage is unconstitutional, this bill is not necessary. If the ban is constitutional, this bill is ineffective." Schwarzenegger also cited the passage of a ballot measure in 2000 that only marriage between a man and a woman is valid or recognized in California. However, there is still debate about whether that initiative applies only to gay and lesbian marriages performed outside the state, and a lawsuit challenging it is pending. Schwarzenegger went on to praise California's domestic partnerships, asserted his support for full protections under the law for gay and lesbian couples, and vowed to defend the rights they currently have from any rollback.
Connecticut's new civil unions law went into effect October 1st, but the fight for full marriage equality there is not over yet. 8 same-gender couples are still pursuing a suit arguing that if the state is willing to grant the same legal rights and responsibilities as marriage under the civil unions law, there's no reason to maintain the separate categories. However, Love Makes a Family, the organization that spearheaded the effort to pass the civil unions law, believes their accomplishment is a significant step on the road to full marriage equality. State Attorney General Richard Blumenthal confirmed this week that Connecticut will recognize other states' civil unions and domestic partnerships, but not same-gender marriages from neighboring Massachusetts.
Marriage was also the main theme of this year's Pride March in Johannesburg, South Africa. Several thousand people took part in the parade, which began in front of the Constitutional Court buildings, where a lawsuit challenging the heterosexual-only marriage laws is currently under consideration. Participants took on the common cultural criticisms about homosexuality with placards carrying sayings like, "Same-sex marriage is African," and, "I am a very traditional woman. That's why I support same-sex marriage." One such traditional woman on a float sponsored by the Forum for the Empowerment of Women, or FEW, met with a very traditional hate crime along the route. The unnamed 18-year-old was slashed in the neck by a bottle apparently dropped from an apartment building. She was rushed to the hospital in critical condition. March organizers and hospital officials kept her identity secret for fear she would be attacked again, possibly even killed while still in the hospital. FEW spokeswoman Zanelli Mahaly said, "These young women come from the townships, and they think they will be safe in the city." Although the country was the first in the world to enshrine equal rights regardless of sexual orientation in its constitution, Mahaly added, "What has happened is an indication that we still have a long way to go in South Africa." The Constitutional Court's ruling on marriage rights is expected in a few months.
The popular Jamaican reggae star whose song Boom Boom Bye Bye threatens gay men with a gunshot in a head has been arrested as part of a group of men who brutally attacked six gays last year. Buju Banton pleaded not guilty and plans to fight the charges. Since it's difficult for Jamaican activists to speak out for themselves, their cause has been championed by the UK-based Outrage, which has coordinated boycotts of homophobic musicians around the world. Outrage's Brett Locke argues that it is imperative for Banton to receive the toughest possible sentence if found guilty. "This trial is a test case on whether gay people can get justice in Jamaica," Locke said, adding, "Some Jamaicans fear that Mr. Banton's celebrity and the strongly homophobic attitudes that exist in Jamaica will deny justice to the victims of what was a horrific homophobic assault."
The Supreme Court of the United States officially has a new Chief Justice, as President George W. Bush's conservative nominee for that post, Judge John Roberts, was confirmed by a Senate vote of 78-22 and quickly sworn in. Roberts' nomination had been opposed by gay, lesbian, bi, and trans groups, as well as civil rights and reproductive choice advocates. Eleanor D. Acheson of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force called the confirmation beyond disappointing. It is outrageous. Other activists focused on organizing around the next Supreme Court nomination. Human Rights Campaign President Joe Solmanase said, "With a Chief Justice who's been given a stamp of approval by the extreme right wing, it's critical that the next justice preserve a fair and balanced court." The Bush administration is expected to present a nominee to replace moderate Sandra Day O'Connor very soon.
And finally, a University of New England student in the Australian state of New South Wales doesn't know just what his duties will be, but as the nation's first diversity officer for heterosexuals, Dave Allen will command a budget of $1,000. This does not please campus activists, since the money comes out of student fees, just like the diversity offices for minority students are funded. Craig Comrie, a spokesperson for gay issues at the National Union of Students, called the idea crazy. Comrie said, "The reason why queer departments are set up is because those students are disadvantaged on campus. I think it's just a really unfair reaction to the fact that student unions support queer activism and women's activism on campuses." Allen told the Australian newspaper he did not give a rat's arse about homosexuals as long as they were not being given special treatment. "It doesn't matter whether you're straight, gay, black, white, or brindle, but when it starts getting, oh, we need a space for us to hang out, it's crap. Just come down to the pub and have a few beers with us," he said.
That's News Wrap for the week ending October 1st, 2005. Written this week by Lucia Chappell and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Sherry Lund.
And I'm Rick Watts.
From Lower East Side Drag to the Bolshoi Ballet, time traveling with Les Trocaderos later in the program. As he promised to do immediately after its passage on September 6th, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger this week vetoed AB 849, the Religious Freedom and Civil Marriage Protection Act, sponsored by openly gay Assemblymember Mark Leno of San Francisco. The landmark bill would have made the state's marriage laws gender neutral while specifically exempting religious organizations from having to perform or recognize marriages of gay or lesbian couples. Schwarzenegger did sign four other queer-supportive bills. One bans discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, or marital status by businesses that provide goods, services, or public accommodations. Another allows domestic partners of public employees who retired prior to January 1, 2005, to receive death benefits if the retiree dies before his or her partner. The third bill ensures that legally recognized domestic partners are treated the same as married spouses under California's property tax laws. And the fourth adds gender and gender identity to existing anti-discrimination provisions in state laws regulating insurance companies and health care service plans. However, while stumping for several initiatives he's sponsoring on the November 8th state ballot, Schwarzenegger told the San Diego Union-Tribune newspaper's editorial board that he believes marriage should be between a man and a woman, maintaining a dubious separate but equal status for queer couples. Reiterating his support for domestic partnerships while defending his veto of AB 849 to reporters in the Bay Area, he repeated his belief that only voters or the courts should decide if lesbian and gay couples can legally marry.
I have always been supportive of gay people and of their relationships, their partnerships. As a matter of fact, I've signed bills to support it, so I have no intentions of undoing anything that we have signed. And we will continue supporting gay people, and I think they have all right to be protected. But when it comes to the latest bill by Leno, I could not support that. I could not sign that bill because it is unconstitutional, and it is wrong to have the legislature go against the will of the people. The people have voted on that through Proposition 22, overwhelmingly that Proposition 1, and only the court can undo that.
San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom authorized marriages of gay and lesbian couples in his city last year, sparking a firestorm that led to their nullification by the state Supreme Court. However, that court is expected to eventually rule on the constitutionality of same-gender marriage in California. Reacting to the governor's veto, Newsom told reporters,
"This is not just about tens of thousands of gay and lesbian couples. It's about their sons, their daughters, their brothers, their aunts, their uncles, their godkids, and godbrothers and sisters. This is a disgrace. He has hurt the cause of civil rights. I think he's hurt his own credibility. And I think he should be ashamed of himself. This is not a surprise. It's just a typical act by a increasingly typical politician to placate a base and to say one thing and do another, to say one thing and do another. How's that for integrity and leadership in this day and age? Please. No wonder he's doing so badly in the polls. People are starting to see through this. And I just think it's pretty remarkable that Arnold Schwarzenegger gets to go down in the history books as the first sitting governor in the history of the United States of America to veto a civil rights bill that would have advanced the rights of gay and lesbian couples. Wow, there's a profile in courage."
Rallies and demonstrations were held up and down the state to protest Schwarzenegger's veto. One of them was in San Francisco's Castro district.
"I remember the day that Arnold Schwarzenegger became the governor of this state.
I am the president of California.
And I watched on the television, and he looked straight into our eyes. And he said, I will be the governor for all Californians. And then he made a promise. He said, I will not forget you. Well, Governor, you have forgotten us. You have forgotten thousands and thousands of loving couples across the state. But I can guarantee we will not forget you, and we will not forget ourselves. And we will continue this struggle till we have full equality."
John Lewis and Stuart Gaffney, a couple for 18 years, were among about 200 people at the rally.
"The governor can't veto our love. He can't veto our relationship. And he can't veto the lives of thousands and thousands of same-sex couples and their kids who simply want the same rights and protections for their family that everybody else has. And we really believe that Californians embrace one community where we're made up of all sorts of different types of people. And that's the truth of our families. There are lesbian and gay people in families all across the state. And we're really confident over time that when people get to know us as their friends, their neighbors, and their family members, they will clearly see the need for full equality that comes with marriage."
"We need to send a message to the governor that vetoing equality is unacceptable. We were one signature away from true equality in California for all couples and families. And the governor needs to hear that that is not okay to stand in the way of our having the same rights that he and Maria enjoy right now."
gay father, James Martell, chastised the governor and expressed concern about petitions now being circulated to put initiatives on the California ballot that would not only constitutionally ban same-gender marriage, but would also eliminate all the marriage-like rights currently available to registered domestic partners.
I'm here with all these other people to fight to not become a second-class citizen, or rather to stop being a second-class citizen, since that's what we've been all this time. And just to not let one single signature take away all of our civil rights. I really do think this is a civil rights movement, very much akin to the one in the 60s, and I just want to be part of that. I have a son who's my biological son, and my partner has a daughter who's his biological daughter. And so I am, like somebody else, people are saying, a legal stranger to my own daughter. Mm-hmm. And there's some ballot initiatives right now to even take away domestic partner rights. So if one of us was in the hospital, we wouldn't be able to visit each other. It's terrifying. It's not just about rights, actually. It's about, you know, things like that.
17-year-old Marina Gatto spoke for the thousands of California children of lesbian and gay parents.
I'm here tonight to really send a message to the governor and let him know that he cannot veto equality. He cannot terminate the civil rights movement. You know, he has only temporarily slowed us down, but he refused to meet with me and listen to my story. The similarities that I share with his family especially are remarkable. Like him, one of my moms was not born in this country, but unlike him, she is not afforded the right to immigrate and live here and become a citizen because my parents cannot legally marry. You know, his daughter is exactly the same age as me. And the only difference between us is that I'm not given the same rights and protections that she has. I'm a legal stranger to one of my moms. While the governor is allowed to be here, you know, living his American dream, our American dream is just one of basic civil rights as a family. That's all we want and that's all we're asking for. And no child deserves to be told that they and their family are second-class citizens.
Assemblymember Mark Leno of San Francisco, who sponsored the marriage equality legislation, had a few terse words for Governor Schwarzenegger.
The governor has really missed an historic opportunity to stand up for the full civil rights of all California's families and all of California's children. Unfortunately, he has decided to pander to his far-right political base, and I believe that he will live to regret this. We will prevail. Justice, liberty will prevail in spite of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That was California Assemblymember Mark Leno, and for This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon.
I'm a little tired of the weary throwaway line that there is no such thing as a gay sensibility. Of course there is such a thing as a gay sensibility. Of course gay men and women think in some fundamental ways differently from straight. It is not just about what we do in bed. It is about the echoes in the culture of who we are. Or who we aren't. Hi, I'm Clive Barker. Listen to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian news magazine.
The company was founded in 1974 as the playful experiment of a group of ballet enthusiasts. Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo was performing in off-off-Broadway lofts at late-late shows. They've danced through a lot of history since then, reflecting the changing attitudes towards gay sensibilities as well as changing styles in the arts. This Way Out correspondent John Frames spent some time with the company's artistic director, Tori Dobrin, to learn more about their work and play when the Trocs made their triumphant return to Brisbane, Queensland, Australia.
Tori Dobrin, welcome back to Brisbane for the first time in 3 years.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show again.
You were quite happy to talk with us that time 3 years ago as well, because the Ballet Trocadero certainly has a good, perhaps an ample sufficiency of gay men involved.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, whether I'm queer or not, and I am, you know, it's good to talk to people.
What would the percentage be, do you think, in professional dance?
You know, I'm actually not really sure, but it's hard to tell. I mean, I know that some companies have lots of non-gay men in them, and lots of companies have lots of gay men in them. So I think it really depends on how the director is feeling about himself as a gay man or himself as a heterosexual man, who he wants to work with. But I think the comfort level is obviously the dance world is obviously very comfortable with gay people, no question about it. I would venture a guess that it's probably 60% gay and 40% straight. I think that part of the appeal of Trocadero is that the guys are having really a lot of fun, and they are comfortable to be who they are. And when you're comfortable to be who you are, hopefully you won't have a lot of fear.
when I saw the Trocs that time 3 years ago, I was amused that Ari and myself, Ari also for Queer Radio, were sitting beside a man who'd obviously been taken along to the Trocs by his girlfriend. And while she was having a delightful time, like smiling and laughing and eye sparkling right through, he stared at his shoes, slunk down in his seat, and just had his hands in his pockets for the whole time. Now, it seemed like he was determined not to enjoy it because he should have been able to have a great time. Do you find the Trocs really does have broad appeal? Would he be one of the few people who'd refuse to enjoy it?
Well, I try not to worry about people who have narrow, constricted little minds. And it's not, you know, they need to deal with that in all aspects of their life. And until they do, that's their business. We tend to attract a fairly open crowd. You know, you have to buy a ticket to come see the show. And if you have this little narrow constricted mind, you wouldn't buy a ticket to see the show. So we don't really come into contact with people like that. But there was one really interesting story a few years ago when we were in this tiny little town in Italy, and obviously they didn't market the performance so well. And there, I was sitting in the balcony, actually, you know, checking the, getting ready for the performance, and you know, checking out who was in the audience, because it's interesting to see who would come in a little tiny Italian town. And there was this little man, and you could see he was a little old man, and you could see he was so excited to see the ballerinas. You know, and, you know, all looking forward to it. And he had this anticipation on his face, and you could just tell. And the curtain goes up, and there are our male ballerinas. And the disappointment that just went over his entire body, you know, it was almost sad. It almost broke my heart. And but he continued to sit there. And about halfway into the show, he got totally into it and was laughing and had a good time. So for me, that was really heartwarming, you know, that he went through all those profound emotions that we all have of, you know, disappointment and trying to deal with that and maybe a little anger and then, you know, happiness and enjoying himself. So it was interesting.
Now, a comment was made about the Russian National Ballet that one of their big attractions is they have these superb backdrops that they carry with them. So what's the main attraction with the Trocs, do you think?
Someone really said from the Russian National Ballet that their backdrops was there.
Yeah.
Well, it should always be about the performer on stage. Always. Just like when you go see the opera, it should always be about the singer. And so we try to continue on. And I think that's really important. When I go see Australian ballet, I want to see great performances. You know, that's why you go, for the performer. So Trocadero definitely is a performer-based dance company. All of our ballerinas are encouraged to develop their own personalities so that you're not seeing cookie-cutter personalities. We want them to draw out of their personalities the comedic side of them. And so that, I think, is one of the appeals of Trocadero, because you see pretty confident, secure, knowing performers give detailed and nuanced performances during the evening. And you see a variety of them. You know, we just don't have one or two very good performers. We have a whole company of excellent performers.
And people who like being groupies for the Trocs, do they find that the Trocs actually do mingle with townsfolk and the people they're visiting?
Yeah, everyone in Trocadero is actually pretty nice. I mean, it's really... the organization is just like a little dysfunctional little family. You know, we have our ups and downs and getting along and things like that. But it's nice when you're on the road to, you know, see people outside of the company environment. And that usually is our fans or people who come. So, no, it's well appreciated. And, you know, it's nice to talk to someone who's enthusiastic about what you do. You know, there's nothing worse than doing something and no one cares and no one wants to bother talking to you. That's very discouraging. So, no, it's nice. It's definitely nice.
So in these last 3 years, then, has there been any one particular event that's happened that you've thought was just fabulous, like the best show, the best audience reaction?
Well, a couple of things happened in the past few years that have been very exciting for the Trocadero. I think, but on sort of a grim note, I mean, the mere fact that the conditions in the United States are so intense right now, especially for dance companies and arts organizations, that the mere fact that we are continuing to flourish under these difficult times financially for the art world in the United States, because we have this president over there who doesn't think about the society too much or its well-being. So a lot of dance companies are really, really struggling, and it really is very discouraging. Yet we actually are doing fine. So that, to me, is impressive for us. So that's kind of exciting on that level. We've done some incredible tours. Last year, we went all around Asia, which was really wonderful. We performed in Bangkok, which was just a wonderful, wonderful audience, and Singapore and Hong Kong and the same. And then we appeared in Beijing. And those were all debut performances for us. And that was really exciting to break into new markets. And then about a month later, we actually performed for a week at the Bolshoi Theater in Moscow. Now, and to great critical acclaim. And it was a very interesting time for us. But if you really think about it, 30 years ago, this show was appearing at midnight shows in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. You know, a real counterculture drag act based with its roots out of Stonewall. In 30 years has gone to the Bolshoi Theater in Moscow. That is a long distance to travel. And I think it is an indication that a society has changed so much for gay sensibility, cultural organizations. I think that's pretty impressive. And for a dancer to appear at the Bolshoi Theater is totally thrilling. You know, I mean, not that many dancers in the history of dance have appeared at the Bolshoi. Yeah. So it was really fabulous. And we also performed in some really fun cities like Barcelona. We did a tour to Hawaii. You know, we had some nice tours. We performed in Paris for a week to great critical acclaim. And so it was nice. It's but definitely been a good couple of years.
That was Tori Dobrin, artistic director of Le Ballet Trocadero de Monte Carlo, in conversation with John Frame in Brisbane. To find out when the Trocs will be dancing at a venue near you, check out their website at www.trocadero.org. That's TROCADERO.org. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Rick Watts, Sherry Lunn, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, Cindy Friedman, and John Frame contributed program material. Thanks also to Brian Goble and KCBS Radio in San Francisco. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Don't forget you can listen online to This Way Out exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are underwritten by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to find out how you can help keep this program on the air, to sign up for our monthly emailed This Way Out updates, and or to get our weekly program information messages, email tworadio@aol.com. And to be sure you don't miss a week of This Way Out, you can subscribe to audio CDs of our program. For all the details, please do visit thiswayout.org, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on Boise Community Radio, Boise, Idaho, CKDU, Halifax, Nova Scotia, KZSC, Santa Cruz, California, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station, to which we know you'll stay tuned.